I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 6, or they can put that up, the 22nd verse. I'm not going to read the entire 6th chapter. And to just let you know a little bit about what God has placed on my heart, I'm going to read one verse. You know what happens in Daniel 6. Daniel has now grown to a position of respect, even among the ruler of the land. The king respects him. And you see God do enough, and you see God touch enough lives, pretty soon people will start respecting you for believing God. And that's exactly what happened. He was living in an evil, evil place, but God used him in the middle of evilness to be a light to those people. And he gained respect. Well, the other leaders, the other counselors, the other presidents, they didn't like what was happening. So they said, we've got to do something with Daniel. And we know a little bit about Daniel. They knew about his lifestyle. They knew that he was going to turn toward Jerusalem and pray every day. So they go to the king and they really set a trap for him. They said, King, would you send out a decree that for the next 30 days, that if any man would ask anything of any man or of any God, that if they would do that, that they should be cast into the lion's den. Amen. Well, he signed the decree. The word comes to Daniel. They let him know what the decree is. He has no misunderstanding about it. He knows that if he turns, if he prays, he's going to be cast in the lion's den. Well, now the king is in a terrible place because Daniel has prayed not once, but 3 times a day. He just kept coming to God. And after that, he kept coming to the Lord. They come and said, now look, Daniel, this one that you promoted, he's now going against your decree. What are you going to do? The king said, I've got to keep my word. He's got to be cast in the lion's den. But that night, the king didn't ask for his musicians to come. He didn't ask for anything to soothe him. He couldn't sleep all night long. He couldn't wait until the next day to go and speak to Daniel. And when he cries out to Daniel, he wants to know if he's there. Has any harm come to him? And this is part of the reply from Daniel in the 22nd verse when he tells the king, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in thee, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. Thank you, you can be seated. So here's the situation. He is in a lion's den, and he's facing the lions. I get a text one day from a dear pastor friend of mine, Doug Tackett. He's run a meeting that Brian and I are part of in the springtime in northern Ohio, a cooperative meeting for several years. This will be his last year of running that meeting. And in that, he said, I'm preparing a sermon on shutting the lion's mouth. And he said, do you have any thoughts or any ideas about shutting the lion's mouth? And I said, well, I've got a few things. I'll get it together. I'll send it to you. And he said, really, what's been on my heart is what do you do when you're faced with a lion? How do you survive a lion's attack? Do I have your attention? I think that's a reasonable question. Now, here's the situation. See, when we come to church, and I often hear people say, you know, some people, they think that theologically they've grown so much that they're really going to line people out when they say anything. Well, you know the story, don't you? And I preached one time, and I preached out of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. You know it well. Be sober and vigilant, for your adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And I said, the devil is likened to a roaring lion. And they said, oh, no, that says as a roaring lion. We know the roaring lion. That's the Lord. Well, the Lord is the lion of the tribe of Judah. But the devil is a lion that is going to and fro in this earth trying to attack us. It was the lion that came against Daniel when he was in the lion's den. And Daniel had to know what to do when he faced the lion. So here's the situation. Would you agree with me? I don't think that I'd have to look very far to say that there are people right here tonight that you are under the attack of the devil himself. And if you have lived for God very long, you know what it is to face the lion.
because the lion wants to attack anything that is good. If you tell me I've never fought the lion, that tells me you've never done anything for God. But if you do anything for the Lord, it won't take long for the devil to come against you. He wants to fight every person, every church, every denomination, every group of people that stands for God and stands for what's right. The devil will challenge you face to face. In fact, if you check the scripture, there's about 9 references to roaring lion. In almost every incident, it refers to the wicked attacking the righteous. Let's understand this. The devil hates you. And the devil hates me. And he hates singers like we've heard tonight, singers like you'll hear this week, preachers like you'll hear, because they are going to tell people about his devices and how to approach the adversary, because he wants you to live in torment. He wants you to live in fear. He wants you to live as though he has conquered and he has won. So, how do you survive a lion's attack? Can I give you a few things? 3 of you want to hear. Can I give you a few things? This is audience participation tonight, if you're just catching on. I've done this long enough to know when I'm doing good, not so good. If I'm not doing so good, I'll go to the room. We know that he comes against us. What do we do? Well, one thing is, they say that if you're ever attacked or face to face with a lion, the first thing you ought to do is stand your ground. Whatever you do, do not give territory to the lion. The best thing you can do is let the lion know you are not a threat to me. I am a threat to you. Somehow we got this thing turned around that we feel like we're the one that is defeated all the time. But may I remind you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There is a prince and power of the air, but we know the one that has all authority over him. And in the name of Jesus, we can come against him, and we know that he cannot win. Stand your ground. Number 2. I'm going to go quick. Not only stand your ground by taking charge and letting him know, but number 2, never turn around. Don't turn your back, even on a skinny lion. Don't turn your back on a lion. He knows he has authority then, and he will use that against you. Never turn around. And whatever you do, if you do anything and you have to move anyway, you move sideways. Never go back. You do have this mic on, don't you? I thought I came to preach to people tonight. You never go back. Don't give up territory. Am I the only one that is tired of seeing the church give up territory? We keep giving up and giving up. And giving up, we gave away prayer in our school, and not enough was said. We gave away the 10 commandments and took them off of every building in the nation just about. We've given away prayer to the fact that we no longer want to believe God for who he is. We've given away the spirit of worship in our churches. We've given away to this convenience and that convenience. And we keep giving in and giving in. All we're doing is turning back. Let me tell you, there's nothing to go back to. Everything God has for us is ahead of us. It's not behind us. Never turn around. Never give up ground. And second of all, never run. If you run when you're faced with a lion, the only difference is you're going to die tired. You never run, never retreat to a thicket. They say never, ever climb a tree. I know a lot of people out on a limb. Never climb a tree. They say the best thing you can do is move forward and get in the open. Why? The devil hates when you're out in the open. When you're in the open, he feels exposed. See, he loves to work behind the scenes. The lion loves not to be seen. And he doesn't like to be out in the open. That's why you're here tonight. You know what we're here for? We've come publicly tonight to declare the fact there is one King of Kings and one Lord of Lords, and he has ruled and conquered every enemy that there is, even the enemy of death. So now you're face to face with him. What are you going to do with him? Well, first of all, whatever you do, if you're face to face with a lion, don't point at it. Don't point at it. Well, that's... maybe I shouldn't say it. Chris, will you have me back tomorrow night if I say it? That's 80% of the church services I go to. I listen to people, they call them testimonies, but about 80% of them is bragging on the devil. Pointing out what the devil done. A lot of you right now, you're sitting there saying, boy, I sure would love to have church, but I'm so tired. I'm so this, I'm so that. Well, I've drove several hours today. But I've come to have church. Don't point him out. Preacher, whatever you do, don't preach on sin. Don't let people know how that he works. Don't let him know his divine. Whatever you do, don't point him out. And whatever you do, don't make eye contact. They say if you come face to face with a lion, the best thing you can do is turn sideways and try to catch the view of the lion out of your peripheral vision. But don't make eye contact. Because he can read the fear in you. See, it's not a fair fight. It's not. When you come up against a lion, it's never a fair fight. They can sense your fear, and they can also sense your fear by looking into your eyes. And there's a reason they target your eyes. Because when they do attack, they go for the head and they go for the eyes. Always. The devil wants what's in your head. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He goes after your mind, and he'll attack your eyes. He'll let you see things that you ought not see. He'll put you at the right place because those are images in your mind that even at the moments of some of the greatest grace and glory of God in all of your life, he'll bring those things back. So you look from the peripheral vision. What are you looking for? You're watching its tail because it's sizing you up. Do you know that you can know the very moment that a lion's ready to attack you? If a lion's tail is slowly moving side to side, if it's going from one side to the other, that means the lion is threatened by you. But if the lion's tail stops going side to side and its tail stiffens, that means you be assured he knows that he has threatened you, and now he's going to hunt you. He's coming to you. So out of your peripheral vision, you see him. His tail is now stiffened. He's used everything that he can to try to convince you that somehow you're already defeated and to be filled with fear. And he's getting ready to attack. Three things you got to do. You ready for it? Number one, when you see his tail stiffen, raise your arms, wave your hands, and so help me, I can't make this up. If you check any manual you want on what to do when a lion attacks, it says raise your arms, wave your hands, and shout your head off. That's exactly what it says. Raise your arms, wave your hands, and shout your head off. Oh, it gets better. It gets better. You rest assured, sometimes he'll start to back off when you shout. and you raise your hands and you wave your arms. No wonder the devil's winning so much, because we can't get to the place where we rise above how we feel and what we think. The truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter how you feel tonight. God is still God. He is still King of kings and Lord of lords. You say, well, when God does something for me, I'll praise Him. God's already done enough for every one of us. He's given us life and health and breath, and He saved our soul. Do you remember when God picked you up out of the miry clay, set your feet on the solid rock, put a song in your mouth? Do you remember that? Why, you're on your way to heaven. You don't have to go to hell. You've got every right to raise your hands and your arms and shout to the King of glory and say, Lord, because of you, I praise your name. So now, he says, I'm not afraid of your shout. And he attacks anyway. There's some things you need to be prepared for. Number one, he will roar. Number two, when he roars, the ground will shake beneath you. They roar at such low decibels that the earth will vibrate beneath you. Have you ever felt like the devil is attacking you and the ground you're standing on and everything you stood for is shaking beneath your feet? He's coming toward you. He's going to jump. He's going to run. They run at a speed of 50 miles per hour. When he jumps, he's going for your head. But when he goes for your head, that's your opportunity. You size him up. You see where he's coming. And they said, if you have anything in your hand, hit him with it. You hit him in the head, and you hit him in the eye, and you keep hitting him. He'll keep coming, but you keep hitting him. You think you're not doing any good, but he's not used to anything or anybody coming against him. But suddenly when someone busts him up against the side of the head, do you know what happened when he came to Jesus? Three times he attacked him when he tempted him. All three times Jesus hit him with the word, it is written, it is written, it is written. I'm telling you, when you hit the lion with the word of God, he can't stand it. Can't take it. It may be stronger than you, but the truth of the matter is, you're still injuring him. Did Jesus not say, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? We get in our mind that the church is on the defensive. We're not on the defensive. We're on the offensive. We've got the ball. It's time to roll and run toward the goal. When finally he's gone, be prepared, because he's going to attack again. He didn't succeed once. He's coming back. What do you do when he attacks again? Raise your arms, wave your hands, and shout your head off. When I read this, Chris, I'm telling you, I absolutely spiritually, I got unglued. I mean, I thought this is just amazing. You know what they say? When you raise your hands and arms and you wave your hands and you shout as loud as you can shout, the lion remembers your shout. And he says, the last time I attacked somebody that shouted like that, I got my nose busted. And I'm not going to do that again. I think I'll just stay away. I want the devil to know my shout. want the devil to know my praise. I'm sorry. I just got to take a couple minutes and let you shout. You remember when this started? It started. This meeting started from an attack of the lion. But here you are now, all these years later, and you're still shouting and still praising God because we know we've won. You say, well, I got wounded. You may get wounded. But you're still alive. You may feel pain, but you're still here. The devil didn't win. And one other thing, and I'll leave you with this tonight, because if I go any further, I'll never stop. I'm an old man now. Everything I think of makes me think of something else. Do you know, if you are in lion territory, do you know the safest place for you to be? Safest place for any person to be, if you're ever in a place where there's lions, safest place you can be, in the light. In the daylight. Lions do their best work in darkness. They can see in the dark. When you can't see, they can see. And they hate the daylight. No wonder Jesus said, if you walk in the light, as I am in the light, you have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The devil attacks. But he doesn't win. I close with this brief illustration. I had a couple that came to the church years ago, many years ago. And her husband, she was a devout Christian. Her husband was unsaved. And when I went to the church, we started a first building project and several other building projects after that. And they owned a glass company. So they put in the windows in our church, the doors in our church. And through that, the work that they did there, I became good friends with them. As time went on, he told his wife, he said, you know, I think I'd like to go out there to church. And they started attending. They attended for months and months and months. And I couldn't get him to turn to the Lord, to talk about the Lord in private. He would come and he loved the church and he loved the services, but he wouldn't be saved. He became very ill and was facing a major surgery. So one night in the middle of the night, God awakened me, and it was about, it must have been maybe 1 o'clock in the morning, 1:30. And I got up and Candy said, are you okay? I said, I'm fine. I said, I don't know why, but I've got a shower. And he was about 2.5 or 3 hours away where they were doing the surgery. I said, I've got to go see him now. And thank God for a godly wife. She never questions me, never says, why do you take time away from me? She said, you go, I'll pray. So I showered real quick, got in the car, actually got there before his family got there. Good thing, because they had set the surgery for a time, but suddenly the doctors moved it up 3 or 4 hours. So when I got there, it was just me and him, and we got to talk. And I said, you know, it's about time that you settle this with the Lord. And he said, you don't know what I've done. And I said, I'm not the one that's going to forgive you. It's the Lord that forgives you. He knows everything you've done, and he has power to cleanse you and forgive you of every sin you've ever committed. Well, he gave his life to the Lord. He did well through the surgery, and for the next few months he did fine. But then he came down with dementia. He spent an extended period of time finally in a care facility because she was up night and day trying to take care of him. And when he passed, we met and had a season of worship that he was more alive than he had ever been. And that the devil might have tried to take his mind, but he couldn't take his soul. That's why if you have anyone that's battling dementia, please listen to me. Please listen to me. You're not saved by your mind, by what you know. You are saved by what you believe in your heart. And dementia may take our mind, but it can't take what's in our heart. I don't know who you are, but you need to hear that tonight. You may not recognize your family. You may not know your loved ones around you. But thank God you know Him. And He knows you. And He's going to make all the wrongs right one day. Well, she went on for several years as a widow, attended faithfully. And one day she started missing, and her daughter said, "Mom's not doing well, preacher." Come to find out, she went down the very same road, dementia. She finally got to the place that she was in a care facility for an extended period of time. And after the extended period of time, they called me one day and said, "She's now in hospice." I went first to the hospital before they transported her to hospice. And when I went in, I spoke to her. I said, "How are you today?" And she said, "I'm fine. I'm doing well." She said, "Do I know you?" And I knew better than to try to challenge her. And I said, she said, "Where are you from?" I said, "Well, I pastor." "Oh, it's wonderful to have a pastor come and visit me." I'd visit her off and on constantly. "It's so good to see you, Pastor." And she said, "Thank you for coming." She said, "Where do you pastor?" I said, "I pastor Rubyville." Now, bear in mind, she's attended there probably 20 years at that point now. And she said, "Rubyville, I hear a lot of good things about that church." She said, "If I get better, I think I'm going to come visit." Boy, I'm telling you, I walked out of that room and the devil climbed on my back. And he said, "See there? People love the Lord, serve God, and you preach all this about faith. She don't even know you. She don't know her loved ones." And man, he beat up on me and beat up on me. The very next day, I went to hospice. And they were just finishing up, cleaning her up, trying to give her a little bit of something to eat. And when I walked in the room, the aide that was there knows me well, and the nurse on the other side, they both know me very well. And they said, "Why, look, you've got a visitor. Who is that?" And she said, "That's my preacher. That's Pastor Cal." She said, "He pastors at Rubyville. That's where I go to church at. Y'all ought to come sometimes. We've got the sweetest people. You ought to come. We just have church." We prayed and she wept and I wept. And they called in other nurses and soon the weeping turned to shouting. And we had a church service there. Her daughters had run out just for just a few minutes. When they got back, they said, "Oh, my. The preacher came, but somebody greater came today. The Lord showed up." About a day later, they called me and said, "Pastor, she's taking her flight to glory." Said, "Do you know what she did the last few hours of her life?" I said, "What?" Said, "She'd look up and she'd say, 'There's a door up there. Hey! Open that up. I'm ready to come. I'm ready to come.'" She left this world praising God. It doesn't matter what we go through at the end of life to know God is what matters more than anything else. And the question in this meeting is, when you face the lion, do you know the one? Do you have the one in you that is greater than he that is in the world? Do you know Jesus as your Savior?